If not, you'd like to read with us in the fourth chapter of Revelation. There's a thought on our mind, and you'll find Genesis 1:1. It said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And I want each and every one of you to think of those things, not what man has said to try and take God out of the picture. It just boggles my mind that forget all the other things in creation that God created. For a man to be able to stand in front of a mirror and look at his own self and think that it all come about by accident, the human body and the way it's designed and everything, that they wasn't an intelligent being that designed it, that's far more intelligent than we are, to plan it and design it and build that human body. Anybody that can look in a mirror and say there's no God is a fool. He is a fool. Because when you look in that mirror, you've been blessed with eyes that can see a miraculous instrument that God put within us. A brain that can transform that into a picture. You're able to stand there and take in oxygen. The air here, and separate out what your body needs and expel that, it's no benefit to you. And then your lungs able to put that into your blood system that goes through your whole body to feed every cell oxygen in your body. To look at all of that, just those little things about not considering the nerve endings and everything else in the body. It is just impossible to think that it all come about by accident. It was an almighty God that done it. And you and I, when we look in that mirror each and every day, should be able to say, "Thank you, God, that you blessed me to have eyes that I can see with, ears that I can hear, arms that I can pick up and hold those that I love, that you can help me, Lord, to voice a voice before you of praise and honor and glory, that the world might see that I know by the shadow of a doubt there is a living God." In the human family today, does not want to recognize that, but yet you'll find all over the world men and women are willing to bow their knee to that that is no God and to that that does not deserve any honor or praise or glory. But I want each and every one of you here in this fourth chapter of Revelation, it's a very short chapter, and I want you to read it sometime within the next few days and listen to it. But this is something that goes on in heaven continually. And it hadn't been too long back, and I remember preaching upon the eighth verse there, where they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come." You and I today, those words, I don't care. We might look at this and think that was wrote several thousand years ago. But it's still true today. And if time stands several more thousand years, it will still be true at that time. Why? Because God's the one that created. But what I want you to pay attention to is here in the 11th verse. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." They are and were created. You and I today, we're in that "are" part. We were created to bring praise and honor and glory unto God. Then if you'll drop down into the 5th chapter and the 11th verse. "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing." Now, you think, I cannot picture a crowd such as that is, but 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, and saying with a loud voice, each one singing out loud, "Praise unto God." And you think today people want to come to church and they want to be quiet. They want to be reverent. That's not what God created it for. That's not what He placed man here on this earth for. That's not what the angel was created for. They were created to shout praises and honor and glory unto God. And you and I, the Bible said, if we hold their feet, even a rod will cry. I don't want a rock crying for me. I want to sing praise unto God. I want to lift my voice and praise the one that created everything. Recognize that man is nothing. But without God, we wouldn't even be here. He was the one that made it all possible. And created, as the first verse in the Bible says, heaven and earth. And all that you and I can see, the most powerful telescope, all that it can see, and then even beyond that, God created it, and He placed it here, and it's for a purpose, all to be glorified, and to bring glory unto God, for us to look up and see the things that the man said in several million years of miles out to it, the sun, and things like that. But that's so close at hand for us when we think about all that God created that's out there literally light years away. But even a God that purple, He's mindful of me and you, and our needs each and every day. That little baby that begins as nothing in the world and grows into a child to be born and into a soul. It all comes about because God is still creating today, taking that to nothing and making something of it to bring praise and honor and glory unto Him. And I realize we're living in a world today where man does not want to be told what he should praise, what he should worship, what he should honor, because a lot of us, we want to bring honor and glory unto ourselves as if we're due something. And you'll find even the angels told men, "Don't worship me." You'll find even the apostle there with people seeing the miracles that they performed, and they went to fall down to worship them, thinking they were some a great something that had come down from above. They went running to come. Why they didn't want to be worshipped? Because they knew they wasn't deserving of it. But God was, and they pointed at the Lord who should be worshipped. You and I today still need to be pointed under that same one word. He's still God. He's still right. He still has all power. And besides Him, there is none other. And today, man will fall down and pray to a God that has many arms and legs and a little bit of everything that somebody created out of stone, or they'll pray to a God that they call Muhammad or this or whatever, and never take the time to think. The devil does not mind you praying unto any of them. Why? Because
It's all something that the devil had put forth as a false god for men to worship. He wants you to worship anything but the true and living God. And you and I today, by the world, don't want to hear that all these that they bow to is of the devil. But there's one true God. And I'll take His word. Christ said, if you try to climb up any other way, you're the same as a thief and a robber. He's the one that come and bled and died for my sin and yours. No other God has ever done that for man. No other God has ever made the difference that Christ made in the human family.
Because once Christ rose from the grave and ascended back to the Father, He made it possible for you and I to have that Spirit on the inside of us, to be born again and God to dwell with us. And if we haven't experienced that, we need to go back and get up on our knees and pray until we do. You know, coming back there again to all the things that man worships. Some, they worship a God without having an image of it. It's some writing of some man. And when you get to reading it, you realize the man's mind and heart was vile. Because the very desires and the things he set up as rewards is what God told me and you. That's us of flesh. And once we go to heaven, we're not interested in those things. Here, a man and a woman is designed to come together and bring forth children that we might raise up more children and people to praise God. But when this life is over, He said you're neither married or given in marriage. Why would we go there? Sex is not what's going to be on her mind. It might be what drives her society today. But in that world, it's going to be a perfect frame before God. Why people are saying there's nothing better than sin. I can tell you something better. That's the Spirit of God. Knowing that you've been forgiven, it surpasses anything that man has ever known here. Outside of salvation, there is nothing that great. And we need to come to know God to experience that. You know, the Bible recognizes the need of a man and a woman for each other, but He also said it's good for us to sort of withdraw from that for a while, that we might give ourselves totally unto the Lord. Even get that out of your mind. Come to the place where the fleshly desires are way down the list compared to what God is in your life. That's why He said, deny yourself. You know, there's not many people in the world that's learned to deny themselves. Why? Because self is one of their gods. What I want is all that matters. If you don't believe me, watch them cut the neighbor's throat or anybody else's throat that they might get ahead. Has he ever went to a car dealer? I don't care if you was buying a brand new car. Have you ever went to a car dealer and walked away after talking to the salesman for a little while that you didn't have a question in your mind how much of what he told you was true? I don't care if you buy a brand new car. You walk away, it almost sounds too good to be true, and most of the time it is. Because they're trying to sell you something. And they will laugh if they get you to believe it because it's money in my pocket. God wants me and you to be honest in everything we do. And if we are, the reward is there. Why? Because people will take notice that there's a value with you that you treasure above the things of this world. I want you to listen to this. In 1 Samuel, the 5th chapter, this is when the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant. The 5th chapter, we're going to start at the 3rd verse. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, well, let's start the 2nd verse. And when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. That was their god. And when they of Ashdod rose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Ain't that some kind of a great big god that you have to pick him up and move him? He can't even move himself. But because the Ark of God was there, he moved here in the night. God moved him. But then listen. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Now here, they set him up back on his place, no doubt above the ark that they had brought in. But he wasn't able to sit there while the true God made even that God of their stone that they had created bow before the ark of God. And the second time when he went down before, he was broken. Well, I found in the word of God, God learned to those that fall upon his word, they'll be broken. But those that it falls upon will be ground to powder. I'd much rather come down, bow myself before the Lord, recognize that he's God, emphasize him. There is none else in the angel that's in heaven that knows far more than me and you. In the elders there that know far more than me and you. In all that's there in heaven, find that it's worthy to bow before the Lord. Day in and day out, all Christ, glory, holy, holy, under God, power and joy, all but God, he's worthy. How much more to me and you bow before an all-wise God. Today, in the biggest majority of our churches across the United States, they don't know what it is to have what we refer to as the altar prayer, where the whole church comes around the altar and prays. They don't even know what it is for a person, as they say, go forward for the Lord. They don't even know what it is for them to come up and bow down and pray. They come up and they shake the preacher's hand and he whispers something in their ear. Some of them goes in the back room and somebody talks to them and gives them some literature. Others, he just turns them around to the crowd and he makes a profession for them. They've decided that they want to be a Christian and they're going to live from the Lord from this time forward. Well, you know, I've never found a woman yet that went to the hospital and walked in and said, I'm decided, I want to have a baby, and I'm come to get it, and I'm going home with it. It don't happen that way. There's a while that that woman carries that child. And then there's what they call labor that starts. And with some women, it can be a little short time. Others, it can be hours and hours. I've even known a song going for days, and then they end up having to take the child by cesarean. But you and I today, when we come to God, I am the first to see myself fall. That's that part of that baby being carried. I am the first to see that I needed God. God dealing with me. And then I had to kill my need. Every man before God, when that broken heart and that contract
I've come to know God. Today we have learned all it is just a change into the mind. That happens every New Year. But those resolutions don't last long. But a new word can do you for all of eternity if you totally surrender unto the living God.
And give praise and honor and glory you unto Him. You and I today. Don't worry about what the world thinks about it. Go back. Get on your knees and pray and surrender unto God. Dedicate yourself to the Lord. You'll find that's what the disciples did. That's what the first early church there was doing. They was surrendering everything they had unto God. Today, we don't even want God to control more than an hour of our worship, as we call it, a week. If a preacher goes much beyond 12 o'clock, and a lot of times people arrive late for the 11 o'clock, but if he goes much beyond 12 o'clock, they'll start looking at their watch. And I was even in a church preaching, and people started getting up walking out. And I didn't get up to preach because they had singing and everything. I didn't get up to preach till about 10 or 12. And they started walking out. And come to find out, the pastor said later, well, I know when I see the clock, 12 o'clock, to close out the service. If I don't, half of them will leave. And I thought, where's the love that we should have for God? We need to forget our stomach for a little while. We need to forget what we got planned for the afternoon. We did not see that at all. Do we want to be in church today worshiping God? If you knew this is the last day that you're going to live, you knew about the challenge of hell. Death will come to you tomorrow. Just like the president waiting on death row. And he knows he's appointed. We better live our life that way because we don't know but what this day might be our last one. You know, none of us can be sure of what tomorrow holds. We just know the one we're going to face when this life is over. Why? He tells us in His Word. He's from everlasting to everlasting. The eternity that existed before Genesis started there, God was there. And whatever was there with Him, God had it. But then He started creating what me and you see now. And when this is all gone, however long it's going to last, He will still be there in control of the eternity after that. The same God. No beginning and no end. And He's promised me and you that we could go where He is and be with Him for all of eternity. From that time on. I had a beginning, August 26, 1945, is when I took my first breath here in this life. I don't know when I'll take my last one. But I know when I take my last one here, that is not the end. That might have been the beginning of me back there. As far as man looked at it, but you'll find the Bible in it. God told the man, I knew ye, even when you were still in your father's loins. You and I, we don't know when God marked down, when our beginning was, because it may have been way before, but their birth certificate was signed. Holy, holy, holy!
think I'm mindful before God of our frailties and how great He is, and realize we're nothing without Him.
You know, Bible talks about it, said the nations were as a drop of a bucket. Well, me and you, we're as the dust of the balances. Well, then, you take that, and I know that this furniture here was dusted. I've seen it being done. But you can wait just a few days, and if you look sideways at it, you'll see some dust laying on it. But you can take your finger and wipe across it. And if you even see dust on your finger, you can take it and go like that, and then look again, and it's gone. It just totally disappeared. God could do that to man at any time He wants to. But He's mindful of us. Enough that He wants us to be with Him for all of eternity. And enough that He give His Son that we might have life. Why do we waste our time in praising anything other than the true and living God? Why do we waste our time in any form of worship other than worship of the true and living God? You might call it by whatever name you want to, but if it isn't Jesus Christ and His Father, it's idol worship, no matter what we say, no matter who it is, how many people are in. They say that the Muslim religion is the fastest growing religion in the world. And it is wrong as wrong can be. Why? God makes it plain. Christ come and died that whosoever will can come and be born again. But without us accepting Christ as the Son of God, we cannot be born again. We cannot be right with God. We cannot go where He is because we're denying the very plan of salvation. Any other religion you want to accept, if it don't recognize that Christ is the Son of God and He died for you and you accept that plan of salvation, you're still in your sin and you're on your road to hell. And whether we want to admit that for our friends and our loved ones or the people in the world or not, I can't help it. It's Bible and God said the biggest majority of people, they're on the road to hell today. Why the folks, they neglected the plan of salvation. They don't want to recognize God and what He laid down as being right. And you and I today, the plan of God is still the best one, and we either come to it or we are lost. No matter how many people in the world think that we're a good person. You know, I've heard here lately in talking about people that's done awesome, marvelous giving acts of charity. But you know, the Bible, it speaks of charity, but it's not speaking about the same charity that we're speaking about. You and I, if we have the love of God in our heart, charity will come automatically, the giving of finances or whatever. But if we're given this thinking it's buying our way into heaven, we're sadly mistaken. Because first of all, we've got to have the love of God in our heart and recognize who God is. Not that it's some being out there and we got faith to believe that it's there and we don't know who it is. You know, we'll find Paul, he come and spoke to some people. They had a sign up to the unknown God. They didn't even know who it was they was worshiping. They just knew there's a God there, so they're going to worship all of them to have the bases covered. He come tell them who it was, who the true God was. You and I today, do we know who it is that we worship? Do we really lift a voice of praise unto the true and living God? Do we recognize just how great and mighty that He is? We might say we do, but you know, we can sit for a solid hour and think nothing on nothing else but the miraculous creation that God has created. And at the end of it, be sitting there just in awe of how mighty God is. If you can get you a microscope, go and dip you up some water that looks so clear you can see right to the bottom. Put it under that microscope and see what's in that. Just a drop of it and see what's in it. And God created all that. Down so far in our eyes can't see it. He created that from that to the greatest being on the face of the earth. The elephants and all that. And God designed each one of them for a purpose and created their bodies to sustain their life in miraculous ways. And all of that, you look in the ocean at the mighty things that God created, and we're still finding things in the ocean that we didn't know before existed. And that's so close to us. Look out across space, what God has created, that man cannot begin to comprehend what's there. Why should we not bow our knee before Him every day and say, thank you, God. Lord, for being mindful of me, thank you, God. Lord, you deserve all praise and honor and glory. And if we will, we'll begin to see and understand a little more of just what me and you ought to be. Well, we get some song to sing. Don't let this world deceive you into thinking that it don't matter who it is that we pick to serve or to pray to, just as long as we believe in something. You'll find the Bible said you can believe a lie and be damned. The devil believed and even trembled, but he wasn't a Christian. You and I must believe in the true and living God and surrender ourselves unto Him. Come and ask, repent of our sins that we might be born again and become into that family of God, to where when this life is over, we can go where He is. Now, God admits there are going to be few go into heaven compared to what's going to go the other way. If you're in a large crowd, the majority of the world, and you're in that group that is going along and just thinking everything is just great, that human family is the most wonderful thing it's ever been, and that we're all so good that we're all going to end up in heaven, you're sadly mistaken. Because the Bible tells us that the heart of man is wicked. And their thoughts are wicked. All you got to do is look around at the entertainment that man picks. It's something vile, isn't it? It's awful. But righteousness, He said, exalts a nation. You and I, when our heart and our mind is upon God, and our desire is to please Him, then we can rise above the things of this world to where our life will stand out as a light and a beacon of what that a Christian can be. While we stand and sing, will you come? Is your heart right with God today? Do you honestly see and within your own self recognize just how that God in your daily life is praised, or the lack of it? You know, you and I, a lot of times, we'll go and we're so occupied with life here, it may come time for us to go to bed, and we realize we haven't given the time to God that day that we should have. We might have read our Bible, we may even have prayed, but have we really given God the time? Have you ever said a prayer? And then have you ever prayed a prayer? There's a lot of difference in there. You know, we teach our children to say a little prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep.
And they'll get to, they can rattle that off so fast when they're in a hurry to get in the bed. They can rattle off that so fast that they don't hardly hear their own words that they're saying themselves because it's a habit. There was nothing meant by it. It was just something I'm supposed to do before I go to bed. Well, you know, I'm afraid a lot of times us adults, we get sort of the same way. We get into just praying a prayer that we've said time and time again, and we're not really praying from our heart. You know, Christ, there when he was teaching his disciples to pray, a lot of times we say it's the Lord's Prayer. It wasn't his prayer. That was what he was teaching me and you to pray. And what is it? For God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. You know, if God's will is done in me and you, we're not going to be blending in with this world. We're going to be standing out. We're going to be a different creature from what the world sees the majority of people as being. And yet that's what God wants.